Sharing with the right person. This is Monk Allen from the Absolute Monastery. Sharing with the right person. We all have had moments in our life where we have created, so to speak, situation apparently not all that easy to handle. And so we call these moments solving a problem. And so, what are we going to do? Naturally, after we have heard a talk from Dr. Beile of listening to your inner son, there's no problem anymore, we know what to do. But who has not had this opportunity to know where to go and what to do when there's a problem coming up might just run to the next telephone and call their friends or go to their mother or father if that's a convenient situation. But we had one lady, a young lady, who is the niece of one of our practitioners, who one day had a problem. And Barbara, she wrote a letter to her aunt saying, "My parents, they are not agreeing with each other. They're having a problem." And so the person was naturally the right person Barbara asked to talk to share with. Because what the practitioner, and this is the aunt is a practitioner, said, "Look, all is in divine order. All is in divine order." Now, Barbara had really the guts and the intelligence to call and talk to the right person. While I'm talking about sharing with the right person, I was inspired by an email which came from the Philippines. And this lady who is sharing worldwide quite some nice and positive statements. She said in her email, "Dear friends, I used to be a little bit disturbed by the reactions of certain new thoughters whenever anyone spoke of a problem. I'd seen them automatically change the topic because they don't want to listen. They were afraid that they might imbibe the problem. Somehow, with certain new thoughters, it was unacceptable for anyone to talk about a challenge. Thus, I gained the impression that it would not at all be good to speak of a challenge. One had to pretend that they did not exist. And since one created one's realities, I was under the impression that it was bad to have a problem." And then she says further, "Early in my studies of new thought principles, I also learned that dwelling on a problem, which includes talking about it with all and sundry, would only energize it. It was only later that I understood that one can't speak of a problem with someone who can actually help the person, like, for instance, a doctor, a lawyer, or other professional, or maybe a counselor, or with a close friend one could trust. Speaking of it with someone who could help would actually ease the problem." Well, all these thoughts, I listened and I read this and I thought about it, and I have seen that in many cases when people call us for help and they have a problem, that they're like many, and it was more in the past than in the present tense, that they like to speak about the problem. And we have now put the cause into motion that when people call us, that they automatically, and it is amazing how wonderful it works, that automatically people say, "Look, please, can you pray with me that I'm whole and perfect, or that I'm independently wealthy, they instantly come with the solution. Or whenever I have the feeling they want to spread the problem, I said, now let's talk about the solution. What would you like to experience? And they instantly flow with it. It's amazing how it works to direct the people or direct myself to the solution. And yet, while I was reading this, there are problems, and I have talked with people from New Thought. They said it's not good to suppress the problem. And you just always say it's all in divine order, it's all in divine order, and you can't come over. Isn't it then good to talk to somebody, to a counselor, to a practitioner, to a doctor, to a lawyer? How much is it important maybe to get another opinion from somebody? Or because we might, or I might be so involved in the problem and see no solution. Even if somebody said, just say it's in divine order. Well, if I'm so involved in the problem, it's hard to see, to just say it's all in divine order. And with these thoughts, I would like you to just perhaps give your own opinion and say, is there a case where you feel it's important to talk about the problem? And I'm saying to speak to the right person. I'm sure I would not recommend to go to anybody and just blah, blah, blah and speak to a friend about it. And knowing that the friend said, oh, this is terrible, oh, yes, you will die. Is it worthwhile to have a person, and like Barbara, she came to the right person, she came to a practitioner who could talk to her, who knew the parents, who could talk to her, and at the end, everything was resolved. The parents came together again, and it took a little bit longer, yes, but it was done. Ingeborg, what is your thought about speaking about the problem with somebody, or are you able to resolve your problem by yourself?
I tried to resolve the problem by myself, because I know what the problem is and why I have it, and so I find the proper solution to know what I can do and have no problem, but I find the solution and put a new cause into motion for what I like to experience.
Paul, what's your opinion?
Well, I find that occasionally if the answer is not immediately apparent within myself, I will speak with someone, mainly as a form of reaffirmation of what I already know. But it's not always through speaking. Sometimes you come up with new things that you don't come up with when you just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I found.
Sylvia?
Yeah, I find sometimes it's good to speak. To speak with somebody, I mean, for example, if I'm on a divorce, I surely go to a lawyer, still putting the cause in motion that everything is in divine order and it's done harmoniously and lovingly, or whatever, you know. And the same is when I feel something wrong in my body, I put the cause in motion that I'm whole and perfect, and let the doctor check it out and say it's okay. Or even while I'm saying I am whole and perfect, he maybe gives me some medication to help me enforce that feedback, that feeling that mm-hmm. it's really done. And the secret is to always, if ever I go to a professional person or to a counselor, to know that it's in divine order and that it's done, and whatever the appearance is that I go through, mm-hmm. that it is solved and it's done.
No? You want to hear help?
People come to a practitioner because they have a problem. Now, the problem is the problem. Problem's neither good nor bad. However, people judge the problem. Mm-hmm. And when you judge the problem, then you're making the big mistake. If, instead of judging the problem, you would say, I have this problem, and I choose to not have it. I choose to be whole and perfect. And so it's not that damn problem, that terrible problem, that miserable problem, because you're giving it power. Whereas you just say, I have my loose tooth, and I want to pull it out. So you put a string on it and put it to the doorknob, you know, or something punches you in the face, or you go to the dentist, or you just wiggle it enough and pretty soon it comes out. Now, is the tooth bad? The tooth may be decayed. The tooth may have all sorts of problems, but is it bad?
No.
The tooth is not itself bad. Mm-hmm. It is merely an evidence of the problem that we are working with. And so we just shake it and pull it out, and then it's out. But if we call it, oh, that damn tooth, oh, that terrible tooth, oh, that, then we are building up within ourselves the positive-negative judgment. And healing in itself is not right or wrong. It is the positive judgment or the negative judgment we have about the condition that makes it right or wrong. And with a negative attitude in our mind, the condition does not clear itself up. With a positive attitude in our mind, I don't really mean positive, but with a non-judgmental attitude in our mind, it just is that we're disposing of or handling, then it is an easy thing to do. But this is something historically people in all professions have not done. Now, why do you want to leave that no good husband of yours? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to leave my no good husband. I want to go out on my own. I want to look at, I've met someone that I prefer, not this person that I'm with. Mm-hmm. I have nothing against the man I'm with. I'm nothing against the husband that I have or the wife that I have or something. I am looking at this other relationship that to me is far more important. Okay? I am enjoying the mumps. And I don't like the mumps, but I'm enjoying the mumps because we always enjoy our illnesses. And so I choose to enjoy perfect health. I choose to enjoy harmonious body. I choose to enjoy a life that's filled with health and wholeness. Now, the reason, and I'm going into this now, the reason that we have illnesses are because we feel sorry for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have allowed ourselves to be open to the potential of that illness taking part in our life, because in our bodies are every germ that we could ever have, any disease, any problem we could ever have. And we don't give that power, and we don't experience them all, but there's some that we do. Because we like it. Now, when we can like health more than we like illness, then we will experience more health than we illness. And that day will never come. Because, you see, the majority of the people on Earth, they want to experience illness, don't they?
No.
The majority of the people on Earth are healthy.
Yeah.
The majority of the people on Earth are happy. The majority of the people on Earth are enjoying enough income to take care of their needs. The majority of the people on Earth are not experiencing all of these negative things that people want to build up. And they build them up in the newspapers and magazines, and they build them up, the AIDS epidemic is so great, it's so fantastic. It's not a nice thing, but the thing is, the AIDS epidemic covers a portion of humanity, and let's say, even if it were 10%, that's a small portion. That's too much, of course, but it's not 10%, it's something like maybe less than 1% of humanity, way less than 1%, are experiencing it. But we blow it all out of proportion, and we make ourselves fearful of it, and so we may not get AIDS, but we get other things because we have lowered our resistance to wholeness and health and harmony. And to build up within people the message of wholeness and health and harmony is such a tremendous responsibility for us in the metaphysical field, in the New Thought field, and any religious or psychology. I mean, we're not alone. I mean, the metaphysical field is like nothing. It's like 0.000% of the whole humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we're so wonderful, and we are. But the thing is, all the other people are wonderful too, because they're not experiencing the things that we're teaching them not to experience, you know? They're already not experiencing them. They're not even metaphysical. They're just beautiful beings, you know what I mean? And so we have to stop saying that if you're going to be a Catholic, if you're going to be a Protestant, if you're going to be a Buddhist, you're going to be a whatever, that'll help you to accomplish something. That doesn't help you. That's just a little dressing, window dressing. What helps you is having the right attitude of mind about your body. It's the temple of the living God. It's a beautiful thing. And when you have that, then all of those problems disappear. And people who like to talk about problems, they want to have them. And bless you, enjoy them in abundance.
But you would not say that it helps that it helps to look at the problem in a different way, that somebody has perhaps an attitude, a wrong attitude, a wrong image.
I said in the beginning of my remarks that if you're judging, then you have a problem.
That's true.
And if you don't judge, you don't have a problem. It all irons itself out.
Yeah.
And sure, it's a new attitude of not judging, perhaps.
Yeah.
But the
that's
thing is,
the point.
If you're just going to reiterate your problem with different words, you have not solved anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you look at the circumstance, I got a tooth that's loose. Pull it out. I have a bridge, or what did you call it? You underneath the tooth.
And
root canal. You know, big deal. You know, and you never have to really have that in the first place, but those are things that we create in our consciousness. And how many people have root canals?
Really?
Of the total population of the earth, not very many. And we think, well, big deal.
In percentage.
Percentage wise. And people just don't. These are just little minority things.
Mm.
And they're all done because of our mental attitude.
Mm.
And we are a psychosomatic body. We are not a physiological body. Our physiological body responds to our mental attitude. And if we're going to fall back on the thing, thinking that our physical body is our reality and our mental body is just a game we play, then that's fine too. You may finish your talk.
Okay. Speaking to the right person. All right. Speaking to the right person. Well, what is finally the right person after we have heard have everyone here around the table? It's really myself. And I'm the only one who can solve my problem and make a decision, like Ingeborg says, and train myself to be non-judgmental. But that comes only when I train myself to like myself and have the right attitude. And